Good morning. How good it is to be in this place in a spirit of worship this morning. The sun was shining, but now it's raining. But it is good to be inside in the beauty of this special place together to worship this morning. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting, and in particular those who are here with us for the first time. If this is your first time worshiping with us here at St. John's, we want to extend a special welcome to you and ask that you find the card that looks like this at either end of your pew and fill it out, and then on your way out, place it in the basket. Gail, wave a hand. Gail, wave your hand. There she is. In the back on the pew, there is a basket that you can drop these in on your way out. Just a little card so that we can learn more about you and so that you can learn more about us as we journey together. I trust that all of you know, and it is important that all of you know, that whether visitor or not, no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to both meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. It is for us All Saints Sunday. You may, you will hear the thread of that throughout our entire service this morning. You will also see in your bulletin a list of names of those members and friends who have passed since the last time we celebrated All Saints Sunday. We will read those, of course, and honor them with a chime and with our prayers, but please be aware of that spirit that is among us this day. That being said, we are a church very much alive, and we've got quite a bit going on, although there's some differences, so pay attention. The blessing of the animals that was supposed to happen after our service today, we made the executive decision to postpone that until next Sunday. It's actively raining right now, and unless it really dries up in the next hour and a half or so, it probably won't be too pleasant for human or animal. So we are going to postpone our blessing of the animals till next Sunday, same time, same place, 12:15 over in the Meditation Garden. And until then, we will pray for sunnier weather. But we still have fellowship happening after church. So as soon as our service is over, you are invited. Everyone is invited to head downstairs where the deacons have provided coffee and drinks and goodies. Our stampers are selling homemade greeting cards. You cannot miss them. They're on a table with a gold tablecloth, which looks amazing. So they're all down there. So please, please go downstairs and enjoy time with one another. It is the first Sunday of November, so we have our November Carry Out Connection Sunday School bags. If you have children or grandchildren or are accustomed to taking those bags, it's a Sunday school that the kids will do at home. Those bags are located in the narthex, so please grab one, sign out so that we know kind of where they're headed, but please do take advantage of that. Another reminder that your blue covenant commitment cards are being dedicated next Sunday. If you haven't done one, you can even do one before you leave today. These are really important as we form next year's budget, so please do take a moment to fill them out. There's a basket or a bowl collecting them on the communion table, so please, if you don't do it this week, bring it next week. An announcement from our community, a ceremonial flag burning is happening on Veterans Day on the front lawn of the Post on 2nd Street at 1 p.m. We have a box in the church office that's collecting old flags if you would like them to be a part of that, and Ricky Sands is a representative for that. If you have any questions, please talk to her or drop your flag off at the church office or at the Post on 2nd Street. Next Saturday is the Women's Retreat. That's happening at 9 o'clock in the library. So women are gathering where they will be filling Christmas stockings for Norristown State Hospital, something that they have done for many years, a special project. So please be aware of that and join them if you are wanting to gather on Saturday. And for the last two announcements, Andrew has an announcement and Pastor Dale has an announcement, so I'm going to turn it over to them.
Good morning, everyone. On All Saints Sunday, we get to sing some of our most beloved hymns of faith, opening with For All the Saints. But I'm here to talk to you about our closing hymn, The Church's One Foundation. Now, in your bulletin, you have an insert for this hymn, which you'll follow along as we sing. And you'll see the choir is singing stanzas 3 and 4. And while they are singing the text you see printed, they also will be singing some Latin text that is not there. And I want to briefly tell you about it so you know what they are singing. In the midst of the hymn text, the choir is singing the ancient Requiem text, Requiem Aeternam Dona Eis Luceat Eis, which is an ancient text often sung around this time, which translates to eternal rest, grant to them, let light shine upon them. So as we sing this hymn, not only do we sing about the church's one foundation, we certainly remember the saints before and after with this ancient Latin text that you'll hear. Thanks.
Good morning, church. I'm sure some of you are still getting over last night's loss. And it is good that we're together this morning. I just want to bring you up to date on part of our benevolence and outreach strategy that we've been sorting on as a congregation. As you know, St. John's is an incredibly generous church, and for years we've been able to give gift cards to individuals who present an urgent and immediate need. And as you know, the context in terms of need in this community has done nothing but to grow. And we've had such an acceleration of requests that at times the way we've distributed these gift cards has sacrificed some safety. We have a Montessori school here, we have teachers coming in and out, we have parents coming in and out, and so after a lot of prayer and discernment, we've decided that we are going to continue benevolences very strongly, but we're going to discontinue the immediate distribution of gift cards. So that means those of you who were offering these to the church, we're going to ask you to put a pause on that until we get this moving in some new directions. Now, this is not to say that St. John's is not interested in this community and in benevolence. It is. But it is to say that we are finding new and more effective ways to meet people with immediate needs. Just wanted you to know that.
I want to invite you now to place all of those announcements and all the busyness of this day to another part of your brain that you can certainly access later. But for now, I'm going to invite you to join me in taking a deep and slow breath. Hopefully this is not the first deep breath you have taken today, but if it is, make it a good one. Feel yourself becoming present in this time and in this place as we intentionally set aside time to worship together in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
To hear new signs.
be reminded of the steadfast love that holds us and which held our ancestors of faith.
We're here to make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Yes, we're here to make a joyful noise, to give thanks and to celebrate that God is a God of justice and peace.
Would you join with me now as we confess our sins?
Loving God, like the pioneers of faith who came before us, we are a long way from perfect. We repeat the same mistakes, lose sight of the higher road, get emotionally hooked, and fail to be our best selves. And like our ancestors of faith, we long to change our script. We want to respond instead of react, to engage well instead of avoiding or running away. We want our hands open instead of our fists clenched. Ever renewing God, create in us the heart you desire, the compassion we need, and the love necessary to become the people you intended us to be. Amen. As people of God, we are often so conscious of our mistakes and our failings, our shortcomings. Yes, we can get trapped by those feelings. And yet, the gospel proclaims that you and I have been given a new beginning. We've been set free to love deeper, to go in a new direction, to find a new day. And so, brothers, sisters, and siblings in Christ, know that the gospel is for real, that God's love for you is real. May we praise God and give thanks. Amen.
Be seated. Our first scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and with the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. And our next scripture reading is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 13 through 17. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. At this time, I want to invite our children to come forward. I think I see Gwen and Carolyn out there. Come forward. All right. We're tight on space up here today, so maybe it's good that we have a smaller crowd. I know some of our friends are not feeling well, right? Danny and Katie are sick, and Rosie and Andy are away, but I'm glad to see both of you today. So we had in-person Sunday school downstairs between services, right? And you guys read a story. Do you remember that, the book that you read? Now, in that book, there was a tree, right? And what happened as the storms came and all sorts of different stuff? What happened to that tree?
It grew and it got stronger.
It grew and it got stronger, right? They were reading a story about a tree that went through all sorts of life's storms, right? Because storms happen outside and kind of in our lives too. And storm after storm, sort of like just when everybody thought that this tree would get destroyed, it grew and it got stronger and stronger until the end it was sort of like the strongest tree around. Well, I went for a walk yesterday. I try to go for walks pretty often. I live right in front of a beautiful park, and of course there are leaves. Have you noticed that all the beautiful leaves that were on the trees like in the past week are now on the ground? Ask Reverend Dale about all the leaves on the ground in his, right? He did some raking this week, right? How many of you have done some raking? Yeah, right? There's leaves everywhere. So I picked these up off the ground because they were a really good reminder to me. I've got some yellow ones. Here's a green one. But a lot of them are brown and kind of crunchy, right? They're so beautiful, all different kinds. But this was kind of a reminder to me that these trees kind of look like they're dying, don't they? The trees around us kind of look like they're dying. They're not blooming, they're bright colors, but now all the bright colors are on the ground, and the trees that are left are kind of bare, right? You can see a lot further when you look in the forest because all the trees are down. And if we just stopped here, we might think, oh man, I don't know if these trees are ever going to come back, right? If we just looked at what we see, all the trees, all the leaves falling, all the branches bare, we might be kind of sad, right? We might be like, oh my gosh, all these trees are dying, all these leaves are brown and crunchy and going to little like bits in the grass. And but we know what happens next, don't we? We know that winter's coming, right? And then there's no leaves anywhere, and the leaves on the ground kind of find their way, or you rake them all up. But what happens after winter? The trees bloom again, right? All of these leaves that eventually turn yellow and red and then kind of brown and gray, they grow again, and they are a beautiful green, and there's flowers and things like that. And so it was a good reminder to me. It reminded me of our lesson. In our scripture lesson today, Paul is telling this church that he's writing to stand firm in their faith. And that's really what that tree represents in our book today, right? Stand firm in your faith, and no matter what comes through the many seasons of life and all through the different storms, there is more ahead, right? You will remain strong, and you will even get stronger because of that. Because the truth is, a tree that blooms and then the leaves turn brown and they fall, that's a tree that's alive, right? Because we know it's going to come back.
It also reminded me, all of these leaves kind of reminded me too, it's All Saints Sunday. And we just sang a song called For All the Saints. And later we're going to read a list of names of people who are no longer with us in body, but very much with us in spirit, who since the last time we read names have passed away. And this was a good reminder to me of the many seasons of life. And a reminder that just when we think all might be lost, just when we think that the leaves have all fallen and that everything has died, new life happens. And because we believe in Christ and because we are people of faith, we know that that new life happens because we believe in Christ, right? So there's all sorts of things. So as you're raking, you can be praying and you can be thinking about all of this. But as you look and as the seasons change, a good lesson to keep in mind is that spring is coming, but for now, we will be reminded of God's love that is all around us. So let's take a moment to pray, and then we will join in saying our Lord's Prayer together. Loving God, there are seasons of our lives, and right now we are very much in the season of fall, a season where the leaves are falling and where things seem to be dying. But God, we know that through you and through the joy of your creation and through your love, there is new life on the horizon. Help us to be reminded that the many seasons and the many storms of life help us to grow stronger and more rooted in our faith. And God, we pray all of these things in the name of Christ, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, girls. Take care.
The church congregation I grew up in doesn't exist anymore. It was a very thriving congregation in my childhood. The seats were filled for worship each Sunday morning. A brigade of Sunday school teachers and helpers dutifully hosted a weekly collection of rambunctious children and youth. Church dinners created a palpable sense of family and unity. And for teenagers, our youth group went trick-or-treating for UNICEF. We sold hot chocolate at the annual town Christmas parade. We went on retreats out in the country where we talked about important issues like the war in Vietnam and poverty. And we also talked a lot about silly things like who was cool at school and who was dating who. And although some of those church members from my early church family found other congregations to join, many more found the church as an institution irrelevant, hypocritical, and unable to appropriately change and adapt to the cultural forces that surrounded it. So they left. The story of my childhood congregation is not an isolated one. According to the United Church of Christ statistical profile for the year 2021, membership in the United Church of Christ from 1960, where it was at 2.2 million, fell to 774,000 in 2020. Now, the United Church of Christ is not alone in this. Other denominations, other faith communities have been losing members and affiliation, and churches have been closing. This morning, I want to be very, very clear with you. I am not here to paint a dismal picture of the future of the church. I'm not wanting to be understood as alarmist. The reason for that is, in a much earlier time when the church was just beginning, there was this congregation that was located in Thessalonica. It's a Greek city, ancient Greek city. In fact, I think it's the second largest city in Greece today. But a group of Christians founded this congregation, including the Apostle Paul. And over time, this congregation that had been planted began to get very anxious and full of alarm. There were two reasons for this anxiety. First, they were being persecuted by their neighbors. And I'm sure you know how it feels to be persecuted. Maybe at work. Maybe there's a family persecution thing going on, but we know what it feels like to be persecuted. Well, this little congregation in Thessalonica was feeling that palpably. And because of that, they began to think that the second coming of Jesus Christ was either happening or would happen in any moment, given what was going around them. In other words, when people feel that things are not good, when you're feeling oppressed or persecuted, you're looking to God to rescue you. So the Apostle Paul, or one of his disciples, writes this letter, and part of this letter was read by Addie this morning. It's a letter from Paul, and this letter is aimed at calming the anxiety, the alarm, and the fears. I'm going to read one sentence from this letter. Addie read it earlier. Don't be shaken in mind or alarmed. Now, churches have all kinds of reasons to become alarmist. And sometimes there are solid reasons. There are budget crises, there are policy conflicts, there are fears of turning off or offending members. However, Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians moves persons of faith from becoming captive to fear and alarm and moves them toward giving thanks and reclaiming purpose. This morning, we're gathered here to give thanks and to recognize the saints who have gone before us. You know of saints in your life. You know of those people who profoundly impacted your life, gave shape to your faith. They're gone from earth now, but they made a lasting impression. And I was thinking about one of my very earliest Sunday school teachers, a woman by the name of Edith Lane. I still have these incredibly warm feelings about this Sunday school teacher. She was utterly contagious and loved God so much. And her life became a model for me, and certainly for others. Yes, we're here today to give thanks for the saints who have gone before us. And to be reminded, refreshed, and renewed in our purpose. Sometimes churches struggle with purpose. They lose sight of their deep, deep purpose. I'm currently reading a book by a mainline Protestant pastor. His name is Brian McLaren. McLaren reminds the reader that for centuries, the purpose of the church was to present the right beliefs. Being Christian amounted to believing the right things. It was part of what we call an organized religion. And through the centuries, this Christian form of organized religion based on beliefs wasn't always very flexible, wasn't always gracious. Sometimes it resisted change. And it was largely oriented around Christians assuming that they had an inside track to God, while the outsiders faced eternal damnation. I can think of my mother and father-in-law who were United Church of Christ missionaries. Now, in the 1800s, missionaries from our faith denomination went to places all over the world to convert those who did not believe in Jesus. The American missionary movement had to, in many cases, rethink its purpose. What Brian McLaren and a host of other Christian thinkers are seeing today is that the church is actually migrating. It's actually moving. It's actually changing in a way that could make it much more robust and much more vital. Instead of focusing on telling people what to believe, McLaren argues that the church should focus on how to live a life of love. He argues that churches should become schools, studios, places where people can actually learn the skills required to love. I'm not talking about sentimental, mushy love. I'm talking about Christian love. How do you and I humanize others and see them as beloved children, as opposed to an enemy or an outsider or someone who's not us? How do we pursue justice and righteousness without violence? Without hatred, a school of love. How do we love our neighbors, really, in concrete ways, love our neighbors as ourselves? And it's not only a focus on neighbor, we could also learn a lot about loving ourselves more. You and I can fall into this trap of self-rejection, self-hatred, self-doubt. We can do that on the one hand. Or we could, on the other hand, become selfish, self-centered, conceited. So how do we love ourselves appropriately? Love ourselves humanely and kindly? How do we care for ourselves and our families? This is the work of love, and we need a school. McLaren suggests this focus on loving God, loving neighbor, loving self, and I will include this, and so does Brian McLaren, loving the earth. We do ourselves and our children and our grandchildren no favors by not caring for the earth. The call to love is to love all of creation. This is a powerful focus and purpose for the church. And what if you were to tell your neighbor, I belong to a school of love? That would get a conversation started. Becoming a school of love instead of a dispenser of beliefs. This is where the church is migrating. And to do this requires a deep understanding and a trust in love. Because as you know, love, real love, is hard work. I know that love is stronger than separation because the Bible tells me so. I know that love is stronger than hate because the Bible tells me so. I know that love is stronger than exclusion because the Bible tells me so. I know that love is deeper than division because the Bible tells me so. The church can migrate. I love the children's story this morning about a tree that's losing its leaves. And it looks as if there's no future. And yet you and I know that there is a migration, those leaves falling. And later, those new buds forming and those leaves unfurling. The church can migrate. A community of faith can move from a place of mere believing to become, as McLaren writes, the most loving version of themselves possible. What a great thing to say to your neighbor. We're working on becoming the best loving version of ourselves possible. So I'm not discouraged and I'm not alarmed about the future of God's people. It really is about love in the end. And this is what the author of 2 Thessalonians may have meant when he writes that God chose the community of Jesus followers as the first fruits of salvation. In other words, someone has to lead. Someone has to set the example. Someone has to be in the community acting in love. In the end, love wins. And that is very good news. Amen.
Be seated. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, I do have some joys and concerns in our book to lift up before we share our names of all saints list. Joys, Danny Hogan celebrated his third birthday yesterday. The concern of that is he has hand, foot, and mouth disease. and his sister is sick as well, so we kind of hold them in joy and concern, but are certainly celebrating Danny's life among us. A joy, Loretta Umstead is home from the hospital. The concern is for continued prayers for comfort and healing for her and for Jerry. I spoke with her this week, and she assured me that prayers have been very much felt and appreciated, so keep them coming. Margie Jewell celebrated a birthday on Wednesday, and she wrote in our book something that she always shared on her birthday was that she shared it with Dennis Canfield, who of course is no longer with us and is in fact on our list that we will read in just a moment, but a special memory for both of them. So we celebrate Margie and Dennis. A few concerns to lift up. As you remember, last week was a prayer shawl Sunday, so the week after, we always like to hold in prayer those who were recipients of those prayer shawls. So today we lift up Loretta, Joan, Colin, and Ruth Ann from Lansdale, the Hogan family from Orfield, and Alyssa from Boston. And we also keep in our prayers Hurley, a dear friend of Cliff Knipe, who passed away suddenly. So we keep Cliff and all beloved ones of Hurley in our prayers. At this time, we're going to read aloud the names from our All Saints list. These are names of members and friends who have passed away in the past year. We will ring a chime for each one, and I ask that you be in a prayerful spirit as we do. Reverend Dr. Sue Bertolette.
Harry Bingham.
Carol Ann Bowers.
Mary Sue Buchler.
Gail Bupp.
Diane Butt.
Dennis Canfield.
Bill Freed.
Judith Haggis.
Jacqueline Hunsberger.
Lucille Klein.
Dennis Maston.
Stanley Minninger.
George Richardson.
Attila Salomon.
Dennis Sell.
L. Luella Trout.
Robert Yarrington.
Paul Paulette Zirkel.
Dorothy Owlshouse.
Ural R. Sherry Andrews.
Kenneth Blackledge.
David Conver.
Brian Cope.
Tom Crawford.
Del Dalby.
Doris Dayton.
Dennis Detweiler.
Dan Ganheim.
Dr. Carl Godshaw.
Carolyn Haas.
Paul Haggerty.
Rebecca Kellermeyer.
Betty Cramper.
Richard C. Butch Kriebel.
Reverend James Lacey.
Isabel Longcoy.
Lindford Michener.
Ellen Rauscher.
Tom Rogers.
Sproul.
Bob Williams.
Terrence Worcester. And a final chime for all those lost but not listed. I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, each and every one of us are students of your love, daily learning what it means to show and to share compassion, grace, and care. It is impossible for us to do any of that perfectly, but in all of our learning, in all of our striving, in all of our trying, keep our hearts true and our sights set on you, the one who teaches. Remind us that this task of loving that you set before us is accompanied by a promise from you, that we will have your constant love and presence to sustain, inspire, and teach us how to move forward. Make clear to us, O God, opportunities to live your love out loud. Help us to gently care for one another, to listen thoughtfully, to walk beside and to journey with. We take an opportunity now to pray for those raised among us in both joy and concern, remembering also those who weigh heavily on our hearts and minds this day. Hear our prayers, O God. We remember especially today all the many saints who surround us, those named as members and friends of St. John's, and those who are near and dear to us personally. Each and every one of us has been influenced by people, some of whom we no longer see, but who are very much a part of us. We are indeed surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, O God, family members and friends whom we miss and who we honor every day. Help us to honor them, not only in prayer now, but in the way in which we live, in the way in which we speak, in the way in which we show love to others and to you. We thank you, God, for the ways in which we are connected. Friends on earth and friends above, those alive and in our daily lives, and those who are very much alive in our hearts. Be with us as we remember, O God, and we do remember. And may we take hope, knowing that our loved ones are rejoicing in the promise that you made to them and that you make to all of us, the promise of peace and hope and eternal life beyond death. We pray all of these things in the name of Christ. Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite us to join in singing our doxology together as our offering is brought forward and as we lift it up and dedicate it to God and to the use of our people.
Gracious God, as we remember those who journeyed with you on this earth, we are reminded that they brought the gift of their lives to make this world more whole, to mend the places of pain and suffering, and to bring wholeness to a world that is aching to be reconciled through your love. God, we offer these gifts as we join those saints today in this mighty and holy work. Praise God. Amen.
Thank you.
are the students of love. We are the bearers of love. We are the deliverers of love. And yes, we declare love. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.